This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. It's a historic moment for global infrastructure. The 150-year-old Suez Canal has just completed a makeover this week, despite one of the worst periods of instability in the Middle East in decades. The new Suez Canal, it says, for us, for everyone among us. A bright spot for the troubled regime of Egyptian President Abdel Fattah el-Sisi. The expansion creates a second parallel canal at a cost of $8 billion to build, and it was completed in only 1 year. Peter Hinchliffe is Secretary General of the International Chamber of Shipping, who just visited the new canal, and says that this age-old connection from the Mediterranean Sea to the Red Sea has finally entered the 21st century.
The major significance is that they have made the canal much more efficient, because now there is no longer requirement for one convoy to anchor in the Great Bitter Lakes to overtake the other convoy coming to the north. So that means that they can shave about 6 hours off the passage time. That's the first part. The second part is that they can now take ships which are slightly larger with a deeper draft. So there will be bigger ships going through the canal.
What is the competition between Suez and the Panama Canal and the various shipping options that exist that might make the canals less necessary than in the past?
Well, I think there's always going to be a need for the Suez Canal. There is an element of competition between Panama and Suez, but that is driven by the needs of different shipping sectors. What is more interesting is ship owners in the future will make decisions based upon the toll that the Suez Canal Authority will charge. They will balance that cost against the cost of the alternative route, which is around the bottom of Africa. And they will look at the geopolitical situation, what's happening in the Middle East, what are the instabilities there. So there's a whole host of factors which will make it difficult to predict what the usage is going to be in the future.
Has the canal remained a relatively stable option for shippers, and is it likely to be the case in the future? You've mentioned some concerns going forward.
I think when we were there last week, the Egyptian authorities made it very clear that they had invested a great deal in the security, and it's very clear that the canal zone itself is highly secure. Security is in the charge of the military. So I think they are putting a huge amount of investment into making sure that the canal will stay safe into the future.
And looking really down the future, does the idea that a canal is associated with a particular nation, a particular sovereignty, in the case of Egypt, of course, with the Suez, and Panama with the Panama Canal, is that something that's going to linger, or is it a better idea to put these canals in the hands of some international authority? Is that ever going to happen?
No, it isn't. These canals are very much part of the national infrastructure. They are both important sources of revenue for the government. It's never going to happen, and there's no precedent in international law to change the control at this stage.
How would you describe the building of this upgrade compared with what happened more than a century and a half ago? It's been a consortium of nations working together, certainly much less intensity than was the case in the first building.
Well, you say it's less intense. In fact, I would say it's more intense. What they have done is created a new canal in parallel to the old one along part of its length. They've done it in a timescale which is frankly remarkable.
But yet a much lower cost in human lives.
Oh, absolutely. Technology in dredging, of course, has come on fantastically in that timescale. So, yes, it's been a much safer enterprise.
Well, an $8 billion investment, and you can see it when you visit the canal?
Yes, you can. I've seen the canal before in its old form, and now you see a new canal which is parallel to the old one. It's visibly bigger, wider. They've had to dredge to make it deeper. Yeah, there's a visual impact is certainly there.
Peter Hinchliffe is Secretary General of the International Chamber of Shipping. Thanks so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.